an overall view of how the same provinces are sharing the are doing. But this does not stop you members coming from the provinces to share information we are about to receive from the National Treasury about the spending of the provinces that we are representing. And the National Treasury delegation is under the leadership, I'm told, of Mayor Mary Jane Maleni, the DDG. And I'm also told, under correction if you have changed your mind, that Mr. Emmanuel Blay will be making a presentation. I also want to welcome, it's our first meeting after our recess. I also want to welcome the support staff, which I have been paying to them even during recess while I was doing other duties. I will call them, I will talk to them, give them directives, and they were very cooperative. Thank you for always being able to carry out your duties. All the stakeholders present in this meeting, you're welcome. The media and everyone who has an interest, who is participating, who wants to know what are the provinces doing, how are they doing in as far as the allocated conditional grants are concerned, responsible citizenry. Thank you very much, honorable members. Can I check with the secretariat if there's any apology?
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. Good morning, DTJ and Kim National Treasury, colleagues from KMG and media. Chairperson, we have not received any apologies. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. With that, honorable members, I think members have received the agenda. Can we adopt the agenda? I know in the agenda there's no item for adoption, but I think we need to sometimes try to change and try to make things the way they are supposed to be done. Usually we just get into the agenda without adopting the agenda. Can you adopt the agenda?
Chairperson.
Yes, sir.
I would like to move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kiva. Seconder?
I'll second it, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Karim. Team Treasury, I'm now handing over to you for presentation. Thank you very much. The stage is yours.
Okay. Good morning, honorable members, and thank you, Chairperson. Yes, my name is Madia Ngaleni. I am with the team that is responsible for budget analysis of the provinces. So the acting person there is Chris, who is acting as the chief director. And as we have said, Chairperson Emmanuel, who is responsible for conditional grants, will give the presentation. And the presentation does talk to the conditional grants reporting in terms of the financing and performance for the last quarter of 1920 and the quarter one of 2021. So we are reporting both for Schedule 4 A grants. So Schedule 4 A grants are supplementary grants that are always often meant to enable provinces to supplement their budget. So what we expect from those grants is that provinces will also put some money So their requirements in terms of business plans are not as detailed as the requirements for the Section 5A, because they are also picked up in terms of the overall budget of the province. So Schedule 5 grants are more specific grants that are meant to provide for specific allocations and therefore have to be accounted for as such. So hence the requirements for submission of business plan to National Treasury in addition to the grant frameworks that are articulated in the grant framework that outlines the purpose of the grant and the reporting requirements of the grant. So we are putting in place the reporting requirements in terms of the finances and the performance. So obviously what we are reporting here, Chairperson and honorable members, is what we have observed in terms of the reporting. So as it comes through our system from the provinces and from the national departments. I think the grants are so many, and that's what we are observing, that to be able to go into great, great details for each one of them is actually quite difficult. Hence, I think where there are problems, it makes a lot of sense to also invite either the sector or the province to also come and provide much more details, particularly with regard to the performance, which sometimes we think is not as well as accurately reported as it should be. So, Chairperson, I'll give over to Emmanuel to go through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Emmanuel? Emmanuel, with your video on, please.
And unmute yourself, Emmanuel, unmute yourself.
Oh, sorry. Yes, thank you. Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, DDG Marie Cheng, and colleagues from PNG and National Treasury. If we could go to the first slide on the expenditure, please. Yeah, I think the slides before that, Marie Cheng, covered quite in detail in terms of what Schedule 4 and 5 grants are. Yeah, I noticed in your introductory remarks that you mentioned only Schedule 5 grants, but as Marie-Jane indicated, we have prepared both Schedule 4 and 5. So if you want us to be restricted to only Schedule 5, we intend to.
It's fine.
Okay, thank you. So the expenditure, if you start with the 1920 financial year and concentrating more on the quarter 4, The slide before you gives you the expenditure across all provinces in terms of conditional grants, both Schedule 4 and 5. Now, these numbers are pre-audited. That means they're still subject to the audit. The audit is almost complete, and we're expecting the numbers to come through soon. But it just arrived that there might be some changes when the audit is finalized, but we don't expect any material changes in terms of expenditure. So it's actually quite accurate in terms of the spending itself. Yeah. So if you look at the overall spending across provinces, I mean, the provinces did quite well in terms of expenditure. If you look at, for example, Western Cape, Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, all spend in the 99% to 100% range over there. But we did have some issues with some provinces. If you look, especially on Limpopo, and Northwest, in terms of their expenditure, they are almost, in fact, more than 10% less than what the other provinces are spending. Okay, so that's a bit of concern for us. But as we unpack the grants and the details, you'll see on which grants they actually underperform, and we can use some reasons as well in terms of their underperformance. Okay, now, in terms of the grant expenditure, for the 1920 financial year, we had underspending of 4.2 billion rand. This is about 105 billion rand budget for allocation. So the 4.2 was underspent. Of that, 2.1 billion was granted as rollover, and 1.8 billion rand will be required to be surrendered back to the National Treasury Fund, because provinces could not commit the funds. So in terms of the role of the rules, we need to surrender the money back to the National Revenue Fund. So if you go through the next slide, and we'll go through the through each sector and grant. Now the agricultural sector has three grants, all Schedule 5 grants. The spending across the agricultural sector grants is actually basically a mixed bag. We had some provinces performing well, for example, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, and then some that were not performing well, KwaZulu-Natal and Northwest, for example. If you go to the next slide, I'll give you more detail in terms of which grant actually the underperformance was recorded against. Now, if you look at the CASP grant, this is a grant meant to support farmers in terms of providing extension services and also to provide infrastructure off-farm and on-farming infrastructure as well, such as poultry structures, piggery, walls, and those sort of things. It's all support that's given to farmers in the beginning. Now, here you can see the expenditure ranges from a low of 74% in Gauteng up to 100% in Mpumalanga and Western Cape. So if you go to the next slide, we give you an indication of what of some sort of performance issues. Each conditional grant has a number of outputs. So, for example, CAS has about at least 5 or 6. It would have been difficult for us to give you information on all the outputs where it's running into the slide. So what I did is I selected a few performance indicators just to give you an idea to see where there could be issues in terms of performance. And I did this for all conditional grants in the 1920 financial year. So we can actually see, I tried to link performance, although in most cases it won't be a direct link, because obviously we isolated a few outputs and not all the outputs account for the expenditure per day. Now, in terms of CAS, if you look at the CAS projects that were planned per province and what was actually achieved, you'll see it's actually quite a worrying picture in most provinces. For example, if you look at CTK, the three states, Gauteng had planned 13 projects but nothing was delivered. For KwaZulu-Natal, 18, nothing was delivered. Now, this doesn't mean that the funds were not spent. If you look at the next two columns below that, or next two rows, you'll see the construction in terms of percentage. So the provinces are doing work, but they're not doing it in terms of their business plan, in terms of what they plan to do. So what we're saying is that, for example, in Eastern Cape, although they completed 5, they still have 36 in the construction phase, and that's why you see spending being recorded on the expenditure side. But it is a concern for us because a lot of them are still not achieved, and a lot of them are still in the 1 to 49% range, which is actually quite far behind. If you look at the financial year, it's already elapsed over there. So these are some of the issues that we picked up on the CAS graph. Go to the next one. So the Lima Letsema grant share, this is for increase in terms of food production initiative for the vulnerable in our society, and also towards food security. So it looked at more subsistence farmers, smallholder farmers, and those, and providing support to them over there. Now, in terms of expenditure, here as well, we still see KwaZulu-Natal again, and Northwest, sort of nagging behind the other problems, and Limpopo to a certain extent as well in terms of expenditure. If you go to the next, I'll come back to in terms of the issues that the provinces are experiencing in terms of why performance is poor and what gaps we have identified. Now, in terms of the output for INIMA, we selected the beneficiary supporters in terms of extension services and providing seeds and fertilizers to beneficiaries, those sort of farming input. Now, excuse me. Now, if you look at the performance in terms of the number of farmers supported, you see that only in Mpumalanga, so it met its target or exceeded its target. All other provinces actually underachieved in terms of what they plan to. How many farmers they plan to support and how many they actually and do not support it at the end of the day. Now, other provinces there, there seems to be some outliers as well. If you look at Free State, for example, although they set the target at 37,000, we think that there might be an issue with target for this year, and might need more investigation in terms of that. But as I said, if you look across the board, provinces have actually performed poorly from a performance side, but expenditure, there is expenditure. So it could be issues of actually goods were bought, not delivered to farms, and those are issues as well that could be impacting on the on these target mapping. Next one. Yes. So Jay, the last grant on the infrastructure, on the agricultural grant, is the Land Care grant. And this is more to promote sustainable the use of land. So for example, they promote the conservation agriculture in terms of protecting the land so that in the future it's able to be more productive in terms of its crops and grazing and those sort of issues. So if you look here, actually this is a little better in terms of expenditure. Overall, provinces spent about 98% of the grant, but we still have some stragglers in terms of Gauteng and Northwest again, in terms of the performance on the grant. Now, in terms of the performance, go to the next slide. So one of the performance indicators here is fences erected. Now this is to fence off the land to prevent overgrazing and obviously the animals encroaching on the land and damaging the land in the future. It's not feasible to plant to the graze. So provinces actually utilize a lot of funds from the grant to make fences to protect the land. Now, on this particular category, there are more categories, but this is the one that takes up a lot of the resources because the fencing is quite expensive in some areas. Now, if you look at the report that we received from Eastern Cape, for example, they actually overachieved in terms of their target to fence 30 kilometers of fencing, and then they actually achieved 37. But then we had other provinces that also underachieved. Now, KZN and Northwest, you have noted on the slide before that they were behind in expenditure that can be reflected to a certain extent over here with their expenditure, with their performance, KZN underperforming, and Northwest actually not performing at all in terms of what they plan. Next slide, please. So just, these are some of the broad issues that we picked up in the sector itself. I mentioned some of them already in the slide before. But I think one of the key issues that has been affecting all infrastructure grants is persistent drought conditions that we had. Now I mentioned these four provinces, but obviously there was a disaster declared for eight provinces. But these provinces are particularly affected in terms of their implementation. Obviously, drought is going to have an impact in terms of the planting season and all as the impact of the province itself. So this continues to be an impact. There has been issues in terms of SDM which continue to persist. The last time we presented to the committee, we highlighted this and it seems to be still persisting. So inputs, for example, in the Lehman grant is not being procured on time. We have suppliers not meeting specification, and this is particularly on the infrastructure related output as well. And this fence as well, the fencing, I gave you a slide earlier before this, but there are some issues where fencing materials are not delivered on time, and those also impact on promises as well. Next slide. So check the next grant is the Community Library Services grant. Now this grant is quite an old and established grant. The expenditure is actually not too good if you look overall, overall the expenditure was at 90%. We had some provinces that did spend well, for example, Tanga, Northern Cape and Western Cape. But then again, we have Northwest and KwaZulu-Natal, that next second, and Limpopo.
Sorry, Ali, can you mute your mic, please? And Maureen? And there's this 6685. I requested that they must rename. Can you deal with this 6685 host? That it must be renamed.
Okay,
Maureen, can you mute your mic?
It's not muted.
Okay. Thank you. Can go on. Sorry about that, Mr. Delay.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So, yes, as I was mentioning, the community library services grant, we did have some provinces perform poorly, Limpopo and Northwest again, have come up as underperformance. In terms of what they spent of the allocation and the budget for the financial year. If we move on to the next slide, I've just got a slide on the performance itself. Now, the libraries grant is actually has a number of outputs. For example, the purchasing of library books and ICT. And one of the main things that they do there is the libraries in terms of the infrastructure output, where they construct new libraries and also maintain old libraries as well. Now, if you look at the performance on what provinces performed in terms of the new libraries and the upgrading and maintenance of existing libraries, you'll see that there is also not a good story to tell in terms of the performance. If you look at, for example, Gauteng, they plan to construct 7 new libraries. They only constructed 1. Mpumalanga planned to construct 3. They didn't do anything. And then we had some on the upgrading and maintenance as well, where there's actually poor performance. Eastern Cape again, planned to upgrade and maintain 20 libraries, only managed 2. And then we had Northwest, which you highlighted as a poor expenditure as well, plan 3 and they only managed 1. Limpopo, which we highlighted as well in the previous slide, poor spending. And it's reflected to a certain extent here where they tend to maintain 10 libraries, you know, and manage to do 9 of it. Excuse me. So this is the as I said earlier, it doesn't give you a direct correlation in terms of performance and expenditure, but it gives you a good idea in terms of where provinces are falling short in terms of their spending and performance over there. Go to the next slide. So, Jeff, as I mentioned, some of the issues we picked up in terms of overall across the grant. There is some disparities between the business plan and cash flow. And provinces, I suppose, because the planning is not sound at the initial stage before the financial year end, what we find is they tend to shift funds after the business plan is, but if they want to change the business plan again. Because obviously the planning at the initial stage was not done thoroughly. Libraries, as I indicated, there is issues in terms of the delivery of new libraries. There are issues with the infrastructure itself in terms of implementing agents not being managed properly and they're not being accountable to deliver on time. We also have instances of poor workmanship where, for example, they construct a new library and within 2 years it needs some major maintenance, which is also an issue for us. Another issue which I did not indicate in the output is the cost of library material. Now this is obviously not across the board, but we just find some discrepancies where, for example, a library book would cost 200 in one province and cost 400, the same one would cost 400 in another province. So provinces are actually paying more for the same amount of books some of them are. Next slide, please. Yeah, so the basic education infrastructure grant. So here, here we have a mixture of Schedule 4 and 5 grants. yeah. And now overall the expenditure, because the education grants are quite established in the system and it's been running for many years, for many years, we find the overall expenditure is actually quite good across all provinces. It's around 96%. For all the conditional grants across all provinces. But we highlight that Limpopo and Northwest are issues in terms of their expenditure. If we go to the next slide, I will provide more detail in terms of exactly which grants we find in Limpopo and Northwest underperforming, and you'll see it's actually the first one, the education infrastructure grants, where Limpopo spends 67% of the allocation, while Northwest gets only 81% of the allocation. So this grant caters mostly for the building of new schools, maintenance and upgrading of schools. So it's always clearly infrastructure related to school building over there. Now, if we go to the next slide, you'll see the performance indicators. I put out two of them to just give you a picture of what the performance is. Now, if you look at the left-hand side, we have the new schools completed, and the right-hand side, we have the existing schools maintained. Now, if you look at the new schools as well, you'll see that it's only Eastern Cape and Gauteng, in terms of the new schools, Eastern Cape actually exceeded its target in terms of the number of schools, and Gauteng actually met its target. So, I mean, Eastern Cape is not that they built more schools than they planned for. It's most likely an issue of schools that we almost completed in the previous year that were completed in the current financial year. So that's becoming a difficult financial year. But we did have some clear underperformance in terms of the maintenance of the new schools. For example, Mpumalanga underachieved, and Western Cape as well. Plan 13 and only completed 5 over there. The schools have been maintained as well. We see the same trend. Now, here we see Eastern Cape actually underperforming quite badly compared to the new schools, where they only achieved 20% of their targets. Free State as well only achieved 1 out of 16 in terms of schools maintained. But then we have some good performance, for example, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and West, and Northwest as well, did perform well on this particular category. But it does not affect, have any implication for overall expenditure. Next slide. So the HIV and AIDS grant, Chair, this is also another old grant in the system. The overall expenditure is actually quite good at 98% across all provinces. And you'll see in this instance, Northwest actually does well, 99.2%. But the problem here is the POPO. And it's not a once-off issue. Actually, if you go back 2 to 3 years, the POPO has a historical underperformance on this grant over the year. And they continued this financial year 34.7%. Some of the issues playing in the grant is that there's high staff attrition. There's non-filling of vacant posts on this grant as well. It has implications for provinces in terms of their spending and performance. Some of the training conducted on this grant is actually conducted over weekends for some teachers as well. And because of teachers' unavailability, some of this training was not able to be conducted. And it's not an implication. Now, one issue we picked up in Limpopo, I suppose this can be linked partly to the other performance, is that this one of the outputs of the grant is to provide a learner teacher support material that obviously deals with HIV and AIDS and awareness around that. And Limpopo appointed a service provider who actually was not able to deliver the materials, and they had no capacity to deliver it. So that was a major a major issue in terms of the problem. Appointing people are not capable or able to implement the output. The next slide. So the Math, Science and Technology grant. And this, as we mentioned to the committee earlier, in earlier presentation, this is a very important grant. It provides resources for math and science, which are gateway subjects to many other fields of study and careers as well. Now, this is although this has been in the system for quite a few years, the performance already in each year tends to be quite poor, and this year is actually particularly poor. If you look at the overall performance, you're looking at 81% across all provinces. Now, while Eastern Cape and Western Cape, to a certain extent, perform poorly, the clear outlier here is the Bobo. You see, they only spend 12% of what they were supposed to spend on this grant. It's very, very concerning aspect for us on this one. Now, when we looked at the reports and look at through our own analysis, we find that a lot of it has to do with procurement related to ICT, which we're not able to do, workshop equipment, lab equipment, not able to provide on time. They also diverted some funds towards e-learning, but obviously that didn't get off the ground as well, so the money was unspent. So if you say one concern on the grant, it has to be the powerful. And you can go to the next slide. Yeah, now if you look at the slide on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side, you'll see in terms of workshop equipment. So these are the number of schools that were supposed to be provided with workshop equipment. And you'll see Limpopo targeted 24 and delivered 0 on that. So that's clearly a concern for us. Now, Eastern Cape also delivered, targeted 20 but delivered 0. But if you look at the expenditure side, they have spent, so it could be an issue of probably delivery not being taken on time and things like that. But they have spent the money. It's just or at least committed the money. But the delivery is still pending on that. That one day. Now, in terms of workshop equipment, I think most provinces are up, I think, fine. If you look at across the provinces, it's only Eastern Cape and Limpopo that tend to underperform. So all of the provinces seem to be okay. And we're not too worried about that. Teacher training is also an issue that comes up. Now, if you look at Eastern Cape, they have exceeded their target as well as Free State. But there are some provinces that also underachieved in terms of the number of teachers that they said they were going to train and the teachers that they actually train. So that's an issue for us. The Limpopo is not too bad. On this particular output, they seem to have not too far behind, although they still underachieve. But the other issue that the other output areas of implementation are clearly an issue for us. Next slide. So this is the Learning to Perform Intellectual Disabilities grant. It's relatively a new grant, so it's about 2 to 3 years in the system. And here as well, we find that expenditure, although it's around 91.3%. There are some issues that we find, or provinces that we find have some issues in terms of performance, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and to a slightly extent Free State as well, where the performance is a bit lower than what we would like. So the way this grant works is that they have teams of specialists that goes to schools and all these special schools and assist these learners with a disability. So these disabilities are quite profound, and most of them are confined to wheelchairs. So they need intensive therapy and assistance. So each problem needs sort of teams of specialists going. So these specialists are made up of occupational therapists, speech therapists, physiotherapists and other disciplines as well. Now, we found that in these provinces where there is underperformance, there is a vacancy rate in terms of the number of teams that were were actually or the number of vacancies that were actually filled in these teams. So these are roving teams that go from school to school in particular provinces. In some instances, it's up to 42% vacancy rate. So it's actually quite large, and this could be causing the under expenditure there. Another issue that we picked up is that there are in schools where they have these learners or these learners with disabilities. You find that some of the schools indicated that their staff are unqualified for the rollout program. So while we might be procuring devices and all these resources for the school, the staff might not actually be able to use it to assist the learners of this. So that's an issue that we also highlighted. Next slide, please. So, Chair, this is one of the longest standing grants in education, and is one of the most established grants as well. If you look at the expenditure, it's actually very good at 98.4% across all provinces. Obviously, right for feeding in schools, quintile 1 to 3, and also it makes provisions for quintile 4 and 5 school standards as well, and special schools as well, in primary and secondary schools across all provinces. In our year, if you look at the performance, I mean, all provinces spent over 90%, and some of them actually spent close to 100% as well. Gauteng had a small under expenditure, but not too concerned about it. I think they did apply for a rollover of those funds anyway. So in terms of the next slide, now while the expenditure is good, we find that the performance reporting is not what you would like it to be. Now there are many indicators on this, but I picked up one in terms of the cost per meal per day that each province incurs in terms of providing these meals. So you see Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga and Northwest, we don't have any information from that. From them, they actually didn't provide any information. So we're not able to even calculate the cost per meal because we didn't have the actual information in terms of that. But the six other provinces did provide the information. And if you look at the primary school, average cost per meal is about 2.71 per learner per meal per day, and then you look at the secondary schools, it's about 3.34 per day. Now this obviously may as an implication for quality, because the lower the cost per meal per learner per day, it has an implication for quality of the food that the learners are being served, whether they're being served the correct protein and vegetable and carbohydrate mix, or are they just being fed carbohydrates and nothing else but any fresh fruit and those things. Now, it doesn't seem too concerning. If you look at provinces across the sector, they're not too far off in terms of from the average. There are some underperformance, for example, in Free State, Limpopo, and Northern Cape, but we don't think it's too much of an issue. It doesn't raise too many red flags in terms of sacrificing the quality of the food that the kids are getting. Now, across provinces, for the six provinces that we have information, there's about 6.6 million learners being fed in these six provinces. And this includes 480,000 learners in quintile 4 and 5 schools as well. That's 480,000 in primary schools and 207,000 in secondary schools. Next slide. Yeah, so I think I mentioned some of the issues, but I'll just go quickly through it. So in the Learners with Intellectual Disabilities Grant, we mentioned the issue of unqualified learners there. There are also some issues in terms of learners not attending because of transport costs being high. And then also parental involvement as well is not at the level that is desired, and there's also has an impact on learners that in the school. The NSNP, so I mentioned, Chair, that the reporting not beyond what we would like from all provinces, And the issue that you picked up across most towns is that there is not enough resources for monitoring. And this could be a reason why we're not receiving the information in terms of meal cost and learning being fed on time. Possibly. Some safety issues as well we picked up during school visits, which could have implications for learners and even the voluntary food handlers as well. For example, the storage of gas. Next one. with the math science technology grant chair, we indicated that there are some issues with procurement. I highlighted the Limpopo in terms of the machinery and lab equipment over there. There's also underutilization of ICT resources. Now, this could be an issue of training or just plain apathy. Because although the resources have been procured and put in school, they're not being fully utilized to assist learners across provinces. And workshops that are conducted are not well coordinated, and this is also the poor agenda over there. With the HIV and AIDS life skills, I mentioned the issue of both the issues of non-filling of vacant posts and obviously the training that takes place over the weekend. Next one. Education, now there's a long list, and it's not anything that's dramatically new. It's things that we've been highlighting in the past. Planning delays for new schools, poor delivery by implementing agents. A lot of them are struggling with cash flow, so they actually wait for advances from the provincial department before they start, and when the cash runs out, they actually the building stops or the construction stalls. So this has an implication for schools and maintenance projects and the big delays that have been completed on time. Delays in payment of contractors, then they paying things of contractors that have obviously knock-on effects over there. Professional service providers, and then obviously this has been an issue as well, a long-standing issue in terms of public works departments who are implementing agents for the full infrastructure department in provinces or the education department in provinces, not fully efficient in the way they do the work. Now I mentioned vandalism here during the lockdown. Now I'm aware that the lockdown happened in the third week of the financial year, but there were some issues during that period which continued into the new financial year, where a number of schools, hundreds of schools, have been vandalized and funds had to be actually diverted from projects to actually repair these schools across all provinces. If you go to the next slide, then. So, Chair, the education grants are also quite established grants. Overall, it's actually quite good, with 99% of the grants being spent across all provinces. We do have some provinces that slightly underspend. You look at Free State, for example, just over 5% underspending. Now, these are well-established grants. National Tertiary Service grants, for example, is one of the oldest grants in the conditional grant system. So they're actually quite stable in terms of the performance and the expenditure that they have across provinces, and they have a good relationship with the national department over there. So if we move on to the next slide, yes, so this initially started as the HIV and AIDS grant, but it's over the years it's morphed into a longer title with more components. Now we have a component for TB, malaria, and community outreach in that grant. There's quite a number of outputs that are in the grant. But as I indicated, this is a long-standing grant. It provides primarily for HIV and AIDS related expenditure and performance, provision of male and female condoms, for example, male medical circumcision. But the main output that consumes the most resources is the provision of antiretroviral therapy. If you go to the next slide, I just have a slide in terms of the patients that are remaining on antiretroviral therapy. So these are the patients that are actually on treatment for HIV and AIDS. I haven't put up the other gather output in terms of the slides, but I suppose this consumes the most resources. That's why I highlighted this one. So overall, you'll see that the provinces actually performed well, of a target of 5.2 million across all provinces. They had an achievement of 94% in terms of the patients. So these are patients. The target, for example, in Eastern Cape, the target was to have 635,000, but they actually ended up having only 531,000. And you look at other provinces, it's not so bad as is in the Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape actually is the worst performer on this one year. And it's primarily related to the mobility of these patients in the province itself, and the inadequate tracing of defaulters. So patients who come off treatment are not traced on time, and as a result, they drop off the antiretroviral therapy. So if there is one concern with that, that's on this graph, it is that these patients coming off and are not being traced quickly enough and brought back onto treatment. And this obviously will have implications because these patients tend to get more sicker once they come off treatment. And this will have implications for the health system in the province itself. Go to the next slide. So the health revitalization grant chair, this is infrastructure related and for hospitals and maintenance and upgrading and renovation of hospitals and clinics and health facilities across provinces. This is quite an established grant as well. I suppose we just have issues with Free State and Northwest again in terms of expenditure regarding 82% and 84% of expenditure. But other provinces tend to spend pretty well. In fact, four provinces spent 100% of the allocation, which is encouraging. Let's go to the next slide. I've got some information in terms in terms of the different stages of implementation or construction. Now, these are the four stages that we are able to identify: the feasibility and design, tender, construction, and practical completion. Now, you'll see that we have provinces that have completed a number of projects, notably KZN and Limpopo and Western Cape. But then we have a lot of provinces that have very few in practical completion. If you look at Free State, for example, only one, and Mpumalanga four, Gauteng 36. So I think it's more desirable to see more projects in construction and practical completion rather than feasible at tender stage. And this could be a concern for KZN, Limpopo, and Western Cape, which have a lot of projects in feasibility and design, and comparatively less in construction and practical completion. So if you look at the overall percentage across provinces have 33% of all the projects in the feasibility stage. Now this is almost one third of the projects still in feasibility and design, which is actually we should have more in terms of construction and practical completion. If you look at construction, we only have 38% of it across all provinces, only 38% at the construction stage, and 33% is at the feasibility and design. So provinces need to move the project more up the project pipeline from away from feasibility and design towards more construction. Thank you. Next slide. The National Health Insurance Grant. So, yeah, this grant provided for the contracting of health professionals. It's not only doctors, it's also dentists and other disciplines as well. So they changed from previously it was called GP contracting, it's now health contracting, health professionals contracting. Relatively new for this quarter, for the last quarter of the financial year, we did have some good performance. There we had almost four provinces spending almost 100% of their allocation. But we did have, for example, Free State and Northern Cape that lagged a bit in terms of their expenditure. Now, some of the issues that we picked up here is that these contracts, professionals are contracted on a contract basis. So some of them, for example, the contracts are being drafted too late and they've been recruited late in the financial year. So, for example, if the plan was to contract a person in March, for example, they contracted them in February. So 1 month of salary or payment, they're not being able to be paid because they only contracted in February. So these are the issues as well. Some of them have contracts in place, but they go back on the contract because they have permanent positions in other provinces or even in the private sector and they lose. So this also has implications for them. If you go to the next slide, one before that, please. Yeah, so these are the health professional contracted per province. Eastern Cape and Limpopo did not provide information at the time of reporting, but we are following up with the National Department to provide the information over there. So we did find that there are some underperformance. There is underperformance which is reflected there. For example, Free State and Northern Cape and North West have underperformed in terms of the numbers that they said they're going to contract and the actual numbers that they did contract over there. So only Mpumalanga and Western Cape met or exceeded their targets over there. Thank you. Next slide. So Chair, the next two slides, the National Tertiary Services Grant and Health Professionals Training and Development Grant, is actually, I don't have performance information there. It's a well-established grant. It did not pick up any issues in terms of performance that are of concern to us. It's been grants that have been running a number of years, and the reporting is actually quite good. The expenditure is quite good, so we didn't highlight too many areas of any areas of concern. So I just have expenditure on these slides. Counting to a certain extent on the NTSG, just a slight other expenditure, and Northwest as well, but other provinces are relatively good. The next one would be Health Professionals Training and Development Grant. Yeah, so this provides for clinical training and also for supervision of training doctors and health professionals. And this as well, if you look at it, it's almost 100%. So it's 99% across all provinces. We don't have any issues with this, and we're actually quite satisfied with this compared with what we see in the performance report. So there's no red flag on this card as well. Next slide. So the HPV vaccine grant, check, is a grant that vaccinates grade 4 girls aged 9 years and older across all primary schools. The grant has actually performed well. It's 97% spent across all provinces. It's just that we see Eastern Cape has lagged somehow at 87%. We're not concerned about the other provinces with the exception of Eastern Cape on that. The next slide will provide a performance indication in terms of how this grant performed. So you'll see that this vaccine is delivered in two doses. The first dose and the second dose, we have performance information in terms of what the target was and what they actually achieved. Now, Eastern Cape, as I said, they underachieved in terms of the expenditure, but in terms of the performance, they're fine. So it could be an issue of invoicing or payments not captured or generalizing that needs to be adjusted. So if you look at the performance, it's actually fine. So here the target was to vaccinate 80% of all grade 4 learners grade 4 girls aged 9 years and above. And we found that the total target for dose 1 was 85% and dose 2 was 83%. So all provinces have actually overachieved on this target. So we don't have any issues on this one. Thank you. Next slide. So these are the issues that we picked up. I mentioned some of them there, but just to highlight that on the HIV and TB grants, we have some issues with the distribution of mail of condoms. We have the male medical circumcision transversal contract that expired in February. So it had implications for work done in March, and it could have also affected the target as well. There's also poor recording of data in some provinces. The health system, they report on a system called peer.net, and sometimes the reporting is not fully up to date, and files are not updated on time, so there's investigations as well over there. The health facility revitalization grant, this is the infrastructure grant. Issues that I mentioned, other grants as well, is also applicable here. Poor workmanship, delays in awarding contractors. We have labor unrest and also processing payments on time, which has cash flow implications for contractors and subcontractors. One of the big issues that we picked up as well is the provisioning of health technology, which has implications for commissioning of health facilities, because they're not done concurrently. So what we find is that the health facility might be completed, but the health technology comes in at a later stage, and obviously it affects the commissioning of the health facility. Next page, next slide. Actually, I mentioned this one about the National Health Insurance. You can go to the next one. Okay, so the Human Settlements Development Grant. So overall, we have two grants here, the Human Settlements Development Grant and the Title Deed Restoration Grant. If you go to the next slide, the first grant, the Human Settlements Development Grant. Now, Jay, on the face of it looked good. Expenditure across all provinces looks very rosy. If you look at Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape, all have spent 100% of their grants, with the Northwest again at 88%. But as we highlighted in previous presentations to the committee chair, the expenditure does not necessarily reflect what the reality is in terms of performance. So this has been an historical problem. We have very good expenditure, but if you go to the next slide, you see the performance is not very good. And this mismatch between spending and performance has been highlighted with the National Department, the committee, as well, and we at National Treasury have consistently picked up the issue in terms of what provinces are spending and what they're delivering. So here we have provinces such as Gauteng, which indicated very good expenditure. But if you look at the number of sites that they delivered and the number of units that they delivered against target, you'll see it's actually quite poor, because the target for sites, for example, is only 70%, units only 61%. If you look at Northern Cape, for example, where the expenditure was good, the number of sites delivered was only 27%. The number of units delivered was only 48%. Now, most provinces display this disparity in terms of spending and and performance. Now, there is an issue of work in progress, which we take into account, in that a unit cannot be recorded until it's complete. So there might be expenditure on that unit, up to maybe 50, 60, or 70%, but it cannot be recorded as a complete unit. So there is that possibility, and there is obviously a reality as well. But one of the concerns for us, and as we've raised consistently over the past, is that provinces tend to make transfers to entities and municipalities primarily towards the end of the financial year, the last 3 months of the financial year, without the resultant units being delivered. So the money goes to to a municipality or a implementing agency, and the money sits there without being spent. Now, in the 2018 financial year, we highlighted the problem where a lot of money was transferred to an agency without being spent, and we actually got over $1 billion back because the money was actually not committed, and it was transferred back to the National Revenue Fund over there. So this is one of the major issues, the mismatch between spending and performance over there. The next one. The Title Deed Restoration Grant, Chair, is it's been a grant for around 3 years it's going to continue for the next financial year, but in the 2021-22 financial year, it's incorporated into the Human Settlement Development Grant. Now, part of the reason it was established as a standalone grant is that more focus could be put in terms of delivering disabled groups. A lot of them are backlogs going back years and years, and beneficiaries that have received units without the title deeds or the leverage any collateral, they can't use it to sell the property or use it on the market. Now, this grant continues to underperform. In the current financial year, it is one of the worst performing grants. It's only spent 64% across all provinces in terms of the spending there. Now you can see it goes quite low, the Free State going to 16%, but when you have some performance from other provinces, for example, Mpumalanga, which goes up to 90%. Now this is a similar story to the development grant. The spending doesn't reflect the reality in terms of the output. If you go to the next slide, so this is what the number of title deeds that have been delivered over the financial year. Now you can see it's actually very poor across all provinces. If you look at Mpumalanga, they spent 98% of their grant, but they only delivered 18% of their title deeds. Western Cape spent 100%, only delivered 19%. KZN spent 100%, only delivered 7% of their title deeds. Now this could be another issue, another instance where funds are transferred to implementing agents to deliver this, even municipalities to deliver on this, but it remains unspent, and obviously the title deeds are not delivered. The major issue on this one is the establishment of townships, which are not being done on time. Now, in order for a title deed to be delivered, the township has to be established. On average, it takes about 3 years to establish a township in terms of the processes that needs to be followed. So this has a major impact in terms of the title deeds not being delivered. We also have issues with beneficiary verification, where some of the beneficiaries have died or they've moved on, so it's difficult to trace them toward the title deed. And another issue is the conveyancing delays. Once it's been added over to the conveyancing, there's also delays with that, and delays with the master of the high cost as well. That has implications for the grant. Next one, please. So I mentioned Jen's issues, the disjuncture, I suppose the disjuncture between spending and performance. It was worse 2 years ago, but it has been improving, but it's not totally resolved. So that continues to be an issue for us. Another issue we find with the human settlement grant itself is the insufficient bulk services. So obviously the building of units will not be desirable if there's no water or electricity or sanitation link to the property. So that delays the project as well. And we have non-performance of contractors as well, procurement delays, the normal issues that we've highlighted in the past. I mentioned the issues on title deeds, the township establishment and the beneficiary verification. Next slide, please. The EPWP grants, so we have two of these ones, the integrated grant and social sector grant. If you could go to the next slide with the integrated grant. So the integrated grant is actually quite good. The expenditure is over 93%. But we did have Northwest and the Popo that slightly underperformed on this year in terms of expenditure. The next slide will give you an indication of how many work opportunities were created. So you'll see that all provinces, with the exception of Mpumalanga, so all provinces actually overachieved, with the exception of Northern Cape. So it's actually quite encouraging because this actually creates full-time equivalent and job opportunities. So province is actually doing more than what they plan. Encouraging particularly for provinces like KZN, which is more than double the target, and Gauteng, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape. So Northern Cape is a concern, but they obviously only achieved around 60% of their target, which could be an issue, but I suppose overall it's a good, it's an encouraging picture for us, because the province is overachieved across the board. Next one. So social sector spending, so this is primarily for education, health and social development, so it's like for community care workers and those sort of job opportunities. Yearly expenditure is actually better than on the integrated side, 96%, and it's quite encouraging over there. Sorry, it's at 98%, not 96%. In terms of the number of work opportunities created, the next slide will give us an indication. Here you see Northern Cape actually performed better than what they did on the integrated side. So here all provinces performed better than what they just one or two provinces performed lower than what was expected. Eastern Cape, for example, and Mpumalanga. But it's not very material, because the underperformance is actually quite marginal. But here we have good performance as well from KZN, Gauteng, two states that performed more, or that actually created more than what they said they would create with the resources available. So it's quite an encouraging picture from a job point of view. Next one. Yeah, so if we go to the Early Childhood Development Grant, so just here, this is a social development grant. It has two components. One component deals with the subsidies for children at this facility, and the other one is the infrastructure component. So this provides for maintaining the infrastructure sites, the way these kids are, to get them up to standard so that the learning can be provided in an environment conducive to learning. Yeah. So there are limits in terms of what can be spent. But here we're looking at overall spending near 90%, which I suppose can be better, but there are some provinces that actually performed well. KZN and Limpopo and Western Cape, for example. But then we had certain provinces like Free State, which actually pulled out the overall performance, performing at 90.4%. So the next slide, I provided an indication of the maintenance projects at ECD facilities there. And you'll see that provinces generally tend to achieve the target. If you look at Free State and Gauteng, Western Cape and Limpopo, all achieve their targets in terms of the number of sites that they said they are going to maintain, and they actually maintain. One issue for us here is that KZN, which had a target of 41%, didn't deliver any. Yeah. Here the key issue was they had a contractor that was appointed, but for some reason they reneged on the contract and pulled out the last minute. So they had to reappoint a contractor there. So the indication that we have at the time of reporting was that the project was 60% completed. So as I indicated, they can't indicate the project completed until it is complete. So although there is work going on here, they cannot indicate it as completed. But we have an idea of what the performance is. So we look at 60% in terms of the infrastructure. Northern Cape as well, they have been delayed in getting materials to areas that are far flung. Northern Cape is quite a vast province, so getting materials has been an issue for them, and this has impacted on them. So it doesn't mean that no work is going ahead, it just means that it's going at a slower rate. And once these units, these facility is a completed that it will be that it will be reported as completed. Thank you, next slide. Yeah, I suppose we can move on from here. The next port grant check, expenditure has been 86% across all sectors. But now, provinces across the board, we think are quite good in terms of the expenditure and even the performance. The clear outlier here is Free State Province, which only spends 38% of its allocation. Now, about 3 years ago, there was an agreement in the sports sector that they were going to build a national training center in the Free State Province. For whatever reason it was, especially in terms of its central location. Now, this training center was to cater for elite athletes from across the country. So it's not only for Free State. So any athlete identified with potential will be taken to this facility in Free State to develop their potential. Now, although it was conceived 3 years ago, as it stands, there's not even a hole in the ground in terms of delivering the center. Now, it's been plagued with many issues. The first issue was that when they initially procured or secured land, they secured land that was actually sold to someone else. So the whole process had to be restarted, and then they currently identified land which was not suitable, and then they went back and they got land that was suitable in terms of its size and location for the center to be developed, but they realized that it was land belonging to the National Department of Public Works, and they needed to get an agreement in place so that they could take over or secure that land. But as at the time of the reporting, that agreement was still not signed. So it's actually very disconcerting. Something conceived 3 years ago does not, the land is not even secured in terms of this. Now, because of that, because the department could not commit the funds, they only spent 38 million of it. That 66 million actually pertains to the National Training Center there. Now, it has implications to the province and the sector itself, because these funds are not committed, they are required to be returned to the National Revenue Fund. So the sector has to go find funds again within the sector to start with this center itself. Next slide. So I may mention this here, but some of the other issues that we picked up as well on the grant is that we have, the main issue for us is that in terms of equipment for and attire for school, there seems to be an inadequate needs analysis done. Because for some reason, schools are getting equipment that they don't need or don't require, and then schools that require them are not getting them. So then there needs to be a proper needs analysis across all provinces in terms of the requirements in terms of equipment and attire, especially. The next slide. The roads and transport grants, we have two of them, the provincial road maintenance grant and the public transport operations grant. If you go to the next slide in terms of the actual grant itself, I was going through the presentation in the morning and I just noted a slight oversight in terms of the road slide. So I'll just read it off to you in terms of what the expenditure was, and I'll provide the slides once again.
Is it stuck?
Yeah. But on the change is not stuck. The slides that were supposed to be presented was left out. So what I'm going to do, I'll give you the percentages in terms of the spending, and then I'll provide the slides to you once the presentation is done. The overall spending for the PRNG grant itself was 94%, which is actually not bad, but we find Limpopo was lagging for some reason, and Northwest as well. Now, if you look at the slide that's on the screen at the moment, will go to the performance. Now, the laptop patching is one of the indicators, one of the outputs of the grant. There are other indicators of graveling and blading and those sort of things. But I just picked up one of them. The other information is available if the committee requires it. But what we found is what the target was and what was actually achieved there. And now, Free State, Gauteng, Mpumalanga and Northwest performed well on this target. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that the expenditure was good. It's just for this particular output over there. But we did have some provinces that did not perform well. And one of them is the KZN. In the clear outliers, so we're not 100% sure in terms of the target setting whether it was done properly. Because if you look at other provinces, I mean, the second highest one is Eastern Cape, which has a target of 61,000, and KZN is 5 times higher than this. So there might be an issue of target setting, but they, in terms of performance, they did the second best in terms of the absolute numbers, in terms of the blacktop catching over there. The next one, Chair, as I mentioned, I'll provide the slide again for the PTOG. There has been an issue with the with the formula itself. So here the key issue for us is not Northwest, it's more Gauteng. Now although expenditure says 100% there, it's actually quite low in terms of the expenditure. Now in Gauteng itself, there were 6 contracts on this grant for Gauteng that were not operational during the last quarter and much of the financial year. We didn't get a good reason in terms of why the contracts were not operated on there. Now, there, although it says 100% there, there has been significant underspending on the grant in Gauteng itself. I'll provide the committee with the correct slide once the presentation is over. So what we found is that the other expenditure of 421 million rand in terms of Gauteng, and that's primarily because of the 6 contracts that were not operated for during the financial year. Now, the department, the provincial department made a request to the national department wanting to use that 421 million rand for COVID-related expenditure. But obviously, because it falls outside the scope of the grant, we're not able to approve that. And so the 421 million is actually going to be surrendered back to the national level of the fund. So that's the issue that we picked up over there, because the funds were not committed to any identifiable project. But other provinces, we didn't find too many major issues in terms of the expenditure. The next slide. So, with the PRMG, some of the issues that we picked up, poor contracted performance, poor quality of work as well. And that poor quality of work also has implications for future work, because it sometimes might require further maintenance or complete upgrades as well, which is more costly. And then we have inconsistent reporting on projects in the different reporting systems. This last point, interruption caused by the construction by the YJAC project, but although we mentioned it on this sector, it is applicable to other sectors as well. We were on site visits to other sectors, for the human settlement, for example, in some provinces where the contractor actually mentioned that this is an issue for them, and it has a significant impact in terms of delays on the project, and also an issue of safety as well for the contractor working on the site as well. On the PTOG side, one of the major issues is that a lot of the service providers are using aging fleets, which results in frequent breakdowns, and then they're not able to
do the normal service in terms of the route for their service. Another issue is the maintenance of the monitoring of services, which is not done frequently. There is an automatic bus monitoring system, which is still pending, but until that's up and running, there are some issues with the monitoring not being done frequently enough. Next slide. Okay, we move on to the first quarter expenditure. Now, in a normal quarter, we expect expenditure to be around 25%. But for obvious reasons, the overall spending in the first quarter is much lower, and COVID had a significant impact on the expenditure, which is quite low across provinces, across all grants. It's not what we'd expect in a normal year. So in the initial part, the first 2 months particularly, very little work was carried out. In fact, in some grants, nothing was carried out at all. So it started to pick up towards June, there with the easing of the restrictions, but it's still way off what we would expect. And we do, so it probably just has 1 month to really work on or implement projects, and this was clearly not enough to bring the expenditure to what we are used to today. So infrastructure projects were particularly affected over there. Now, if you look at conditional grant expenditure across all sectors, and you'll see the impact it has had, so with Limpopo going down to 11%, Mpumalanga going down to 10%. So, Chair, this part of the presentation will be much shorter because it didn't indicate any performance information, because in most cases there was nothing to report with most sectors over there. So to go to the agricultural side, the next slide, here you'll see that expenditure was actually very poor, 6% for across all grants. So if you go to the CAP grant, it's only cash is actually 6% across all provinces, and it's primarily related to expenditure that was incurred in June, May, and April and May. Nothing much happened there. You'll see the receipt column is blank. This was because the National Department of Agriculture did not transfer any funds to provinces for this grant and the other grants as well, because they were not satisfied with the business plans they submitted. And there were issues of cash flow and what problems were needed. So the funds were actually without. So whatever funds you're seeing are being spent is the provinces spent from the voted funds, which will be generalized once the funds are transferred. So as we stand at currently, the funds have been transferred in the second quarter to provinces. Next one. Land care as well, Chair, you'll see that expenditure is actually very poor, actually less than 1% if you really look at them. Okay, the next one. Minima Letsema as well, Chair, it's only 2.4% overall spending grant, and a lot of provinces, many provinces, Northwest is counting to be spending anything at all. Well, we had some provinces spending. So there could be some spending that, or invoices that came through in the previous year as well, that could be spent on the current financial year, that also is taken into account here. So it's a combination of that and spending at the end of June. The Community Library Service Grant year chair transfers were made, but the performance, obviously, we didn't expect performance to be too good. If you look at the provision of construction of libraries and maintenance as well, very little could have been done in May and April. So very little that could be done there. So with the education grant, overall, education spent 9.3% of the grant. Now if you go through each grant, go to the next slide. The EIG spending as well, not very good. If you look at the expenditure, Northern Cape for some reason which we could not identify, it was very clear, it tends to perform better than all the other provinces. If you look at other provinces, for example, Limpopo only spent 4% of their grant. Northern Cape did spend, it could be project coming over from the previous year and an escalation of projects in June that has resulted in that. But overall, it's actually very poor, which we expected. The Landers Wood, next one. Yeah, so this is the Landers Wood Intellectual Disabilities Grant. Overall spending at 15.9% as well. That's all what we expected in terms of that. But the next slide. The HIV and AIDS grant as well. So this is the one to create awareness on the education sector. So a lot of this work is awareness and advocacy work, and it would require sometimes gathering of large crowds, for example, learners and teachers. And obviously this was prohibited in the initial stages of the lockdown, so this would have had an impact on the grant itself. Next one. The Math, Science and Technology grant, as well as a training component on it, which obviously could not have been taken place in the first 2 months of the financial year. And expenditure is particularly poor on this grant. Just 2.9% overall spending on this grant that has been recorded. Next one. So the NSNP, so this was actually different from the other grants in that although schools were closed, school feeding was still allowed to be conducted for learners to actually collect the meals from school. I think. So it did continue to a certain extent, but there were some hiccups in terms of its expenditure. And you'll see that overall it spends 9%, which is 9.3% of the grant. It will pick up in the second quarter, I'm sure, because some service providers tend to submit invoices later, especially on the grant. Health grant. Okay, health grant, well, because the pandemic is health related, a lot of the health grants were operating as normal. So there has been some issues, but overall health has been 20% of the grant, which is not far off from 25% that we normally expect. So it's actually, because it's health related, we would expect that these grants would continue to operate or to perform. If you go on to a breakdown per grant, you'll see exactly on the HIV and AIDS grant, we see the expenditure is actually not too bad. Mpumalanga is the only outlier here with 8.8%, and Northern Cape to a certain extent. But what we found is that the performance is actually quite good here. I did pick up that on the number of patients remaining on ART, it's 100,000 less than what we had in the fourth quarter of the last financial year. So it did have an impact on that, on the spending this, because there are 100,000 people less than what was targeted, or what was achieved in the previous year, what actually achieved now. So that's one of the impacts. There's patients remaining on ART. If you go to the next slide. Yeah, the health revitalization grant. Because this was more a construction grant and not so much a clinical grant as such, we expected that construction would have been delayed, especially in the first 2 months of the financial year. But it did subsequently pick up, and it's looking at overall at 17%, which is better than overall other infrastructure grants there, which is encouraging, and we expect more work to be, we expect to actually pick up in the second, third, and fourth quarter over there. Next one. The NHI grant, year expenditure was around 18.5%. We did have some provinces that didn't perform at all, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, and Northern Cape. But others did perform. So this is for the contracting of GPs. which is obviously clinical and would have assisted in the COVID response as well. So this was able to proceed in both provinces. So although not for all provinces, did perform on this one. The NTSG, next one. Yeah, so the NTSG grant as well, it actually recorded good performance, 23% of that. Part of this was for the, major part of this is for the provision of tertiary services at a tertiary hospital. So we're looking at complicated procedures, cardiothoracic surgery, neurosurgery and those sort of things. And these things obviously cannot wait, especially in terms of emergency, so it's allowed to proceed. And we see that in the expenditure. If you go to the next slide, so the human resources capacitation grant is a combination of the human resources statutory resource grant and the health professions training development grant. So it's merged into a single grant there. And if you look at the spending over there, it's at 22.6%, which is actually quite good as well. A lot of it provided for the spending of for interns into the in the new financial year, and the training of clinical training and supervision of training of trainees and training specialists, registrars and those ones. So this was obviously not too severely impacted by the shutdown and attendant restriction. Next one. Yes, so the human settlements one as well, very low performance. We're looking at 7.5% performance over there. If you go to the next slide. So you can see human settlements development grant quite poor across all provinces. Eastern Cape dipping down to 2.3%. Mpumalanga 11.9%. So because of the a lot of construction related outputs were actually stalled during the lockdown, not much work could have been done. So whatever we're seeing here is actually work that was performed at the tail end of the end of the quarter. Now you see an outlier in the Western Cape, which is 25% spent. Now this is what I mentioned in the first earlier in the presentation, Chair, where a fund has been transferred to implementing agents without necessarily yielding output. So what this looks like, a 25% transfer to implementing agents without any work being done. Now because of the classification standards on our system currently, because transfers are recorded as expenditure, we're seeing it as a 25% expenditure, but it's not really expenditure. Now we're currently undergoing a reclassification in terms of the way human settlements report the expenditure. It's been phased in the next 2 to 3 years. So within that period, we should get a more accurate picture in terms of what is actually really spent, as opposed to what is transferred and assisting at implementing issues without being spent. So this is an issue that I highlighted previously here, and it seems to be persisting in the first quarter here, especially with Western Cape. Next one. The title deed reservation, is very, 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 very poor. We're looking at 0.4% across all provinces here. And expenditure is very, very poor. If you look at it, spending 705,000, Mpumalanga spending 678,000. Now, this, as I mentioned, this is the poorest performing grants across all sectors, and COVID just compounded the problem. So, although there might be a recovery, I'm not very confident that the province will spend the entire fund, and it's most likely that they will surrender a lot of these funds back to the National Revenue Fund. Right, with the EPWP grant, the chair, if you go down to the next slide. Right, For the APWC integrated grant, we're looking at an expenditure of 13.2%. And we have a varying mix from 0% in Gauteng up to 28% in Western Cape. Now this the severe restrictions in April and May barely contributed to this there. Now, I just put up a slide in terms of the performance of the number of full-time equivalent
Hello, Mr. Day, you have gone 1 hour 40 minutes already. How much time do you still need?
5 minutes, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so there have been some underperformance in terms of the full-time equivalents, but that can be expected. Let's go to the next one. And that's similar for the social sector, so we can skip this one. The ECD as well, a lot of this has to do with infrastructure, so we expected that, and that's why we have the poor expenditure on that. Sports on the next one. Yeah, so sports overall is 5% as well. We expect it to start picking up in the next quarter. But obviously, sports, a lot of it has to do with a gathering, a large gathering. So there might be restrictions in that because of the restrictions of social gathering. The next one, so provincial road maintenance grant, goes to the next slide. Yeah, so this is a similar picture. We expect only 8% spent, but we do expect it to pick up in the next place. And similar with the PTOG, there hasn't been much work in the first and the second month of the financial year because operators were not allowed to operate, or most of them. So that's why you're seeing the poor expenditure. I think that's about it, Chair. So these are just some of the issues that I picked up, which I already mentioned, Chair, in terms of the issues that we picked up that might be impacting our performance. So that's basically the Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Team Finance. DDG, I hope Mr. Pillay has represented the team well in terms of his presentation.
Yes, Chairperson, we are happy that we can take questions.
Okay, thank you. Honorable members, I have indicated in the chat group while Mr. Pillay was still presenting that please indicate through our normal channel protocols if you want to be recognized. I've got only three names so far, and if you still want to raise your hand while I recognize Mr. Honorable Ryder, Honorable Straight, Honorable Mlesani, please do so. And I hope all our guardians can accommodate the WhatsApp, the management, the WhatsApp group. Oh God. Yeah, the management WhatsApp group and the chat group and participants to raise your hand. I'm going to request that the Team Finance also remove the slide, the presentation on the screen. Members requested that you keep it there so that they can make references on the slides when they make their questions. Honorable Ryder, you're the next. You are the first one.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mr. Pillay, thank you for the presentation and to all the people that worked hard to prepare it. On a lighter note, you said that members, during your comments, you said members must be aware of a rider on one of your comments. Members on this portfolio committee are very aware of a rider, but not the one you were talking about. Right, Mr. If I can just ask, it's actually the previous slide that I wanted to start on. So one before this one, whoever's controlling the slides, please. So, Chairperson, what I want to highlight here is an issue. We have here the Comprehensive Agricultural Support Program. This is an important program. It's about giving assistance to emerging farmers, and it's something that really requires a lot of focus. Now, what the presentation today has given us is a lot of indication of who's spending close to 100% and people that are not spending have been highlighted, etc. And I think that that's an important aspect, but it's not the only issue that we need to focus on. And Mr. Pillay touched on the point that I wanted to make, that I'm going to be making, but I don't think he gave it enough credibility, because if I can draw your attention on the slide to the Free State, and you can have a look, they've spent 88.7% of their budget for CASP. So 88.7, well, it's an A, it's not an A plus, but it's a lot below where they should be, fair enough. But if one looks at the next slide, you actually look at the performance that was done. So if you have a look at the Free State there, they planned 73 projects. Of those 73, they completed zero. 70 projects are below 49%. So what they've done is they've spent 88% of their budget on achieving nothing. Zero. There's a zero there. That is what we should be jumping up and down about. And Free State shouldn't wait until next year. We should have them in front of this committee tomorrow to explain why they are not giving the money that is given for emerging farmers to the projects that they themselves have identified. What is the issue? What is going on? If we can then go on to the next set of slides, I think I said it was slide 14 and 15. So that may be 13 and 14. There we go. That's it. So Gauteng on this slide showing 92.3% expenditure. That's not bad. That's getting there. That's almost there. But again, if we look at the next slide, you have a look that out of 7 new libraries, they have delivered 1. So I'm not sure, Treasury, what your codes mean or your comments mean in the left-hand section there. New T and new A, I'm not sure what that means, and that wasn't very helpful in the preparation for this meeting, but from your comments I worked out that new that have actually been done, or new that were planned was 7, and new that were actually delivered was only 1. So once again, we've got a good spending of the budget, 92%, but clearly it hasn't been spent on building the libraries. So what's the issue? The percentage is okay, but there's a problem with the actual delivery. And that's what we as a committee must be seized with as appropriations. The money that we give you must not be used for parties and lunches. The money that we give you must be used to deliver your projects. If you can then switch along to slide 21 for me so long, please. And we can have a look again. I was a little bit annoyed when I saw the Western Cape, because I'm sure you all know I have a desire that the Western Cape should always succeed. They've only spent 75.1% of their budget on this important maths, science, and technology. But if you have a look at the very next slide, you will see actually their target was 22 workshops and in fact, or sets of workshop equipment, and actually they've delivered 32. So they have overperformed. If you have a look at the teachers trained, again, you'll see it looks like an overperformance there as well. So what I'm saying is that we mustn't focus entirely on the percentages. We must look at the actual outcomes. And when people are failing on the outcomes, we need to engage with those people that are not doing their jobs. Example, Free State and Gauteng have actually come across quite good in most of the reports. But the fact is that they're not delivering to the community. The money's being spent, but not on the projects, not on delivering the projects that they should be delivering. So it's a massive alarm bell for me. The other question that I have, or the only question, that's more a comment, Chairperson, for our follow-ups. And really, I feel quite angry about it, because if you're going to set KPIs, you must really deliver them if you're going to spend the money. So, yeah, that I feel strongly about. In terms of the question I have for Treasury, there was a great flurry of vehemence and movement of money at the end of, or just before the end of the financial year. So, you know, I always get worried when that happens. It's like the pea under the cups, you know, which cup is the pea under? And there's a big movement of backwards and forwards. I would have appreciated just an indication of how much money. I know that on the housing grants, there was a lot of money that was taken away from certain provinces and given to others. I haven't seen how that's worked out. I know obviously with those environments, the budgets get shifted slightly, but it's also an important indicator for us to see which provinces are actually using the grants and which ones are overperforming and which ones are underperforming. Those are my questions, Chair. Thank you very much.
Are you done, Honorable Ryder? You're muted. I can't hear you.
No, I said those are my questions. Thank you, Chair.
You're done. Okay, thank you. Honorable Detroit.
I also want to appreciate the presentation provided by National Treasury. I think it's of the utmost importance that we be provided with such presentations on a more frequent basis. Chair, I've been covered largely by the previous speaker. I want to know with regards to the EPWPs, and we saw that the spending on the EPWPs was quite well throughout all the provinces. Actually, I have a problem with one thing. When the EPWP posts are advertised, a prerequisite is that labor-intensive methods must be used for these people to actually perform work. But there's no return on investment, or very little return on investment, for the money that's being paid by the provinces and municipalities for these temporary employees. And I want to know if National Treasury will be willing to maybe make a recommendation to the provinces for the EPWPs to be actually used where there is return on investment. Like, for instance, rather put a tractor with a grass cutter behind it to clear the roadside or next to the road and utilize these people to assist with pothole filling, etc., so that we can actually see what we get for the money that we spend. And I want to know if National Treasury will be willing to provide us with a summary on the stats as they provided in this presentation, but from 2015. I remember from the previous presentation that we received that the Northwest Province and Limpopo has a track record of underspending. And if we could maybe just put that on the same graph, the planning and then the actual expenditure for the different provinces, that would be greatly appreciated. And then a question to National Treasury, with the funds not being spent completely or entirely on these grants, and we currently sitting with a situation where the tax base is shrinking, as well as the fiscal capacity of government is shrinking. My question is, how will this impact on the grants of the next financial year? What do you anticipate? What percentage grants will be?
Are you done, Honorable Stoy?
I'm done. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Mulesani?
Sorry, Chair.
Yes,
Mr. Yes, Chair, I don't think we got the last part of the question from Honorable Stoy. I think he froze there at the end.
That's why I asked him if he's done. Can you just give us the last part of your question, Honorable Stoy?
Certainly, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Ballard. Chair, I want to know if Treasury can maybe make a prediction as to what do they think with regards to the grants that will be paid out in the next financial year. Obviously, governments will have less funds to spend. What percentage of shrinkage do they anticipate we will have with regards to grants to be paid out to municipalities? Is that clear?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that they got it.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation. My first question will be on the slide 10 regarding the performance of Letsema. whereby they failed to reach their target. I just want to check with the Treasury whether the what is the reason for failing to reach the target, and is there any intervention in place to address the matter. Furthermore, this is one of the programs which are aimed at poverty alleviation and empowerment of the previously disadvantaged communities, and lack of performance therefore is the major concern of this committee. What is the impact under the expenditure and non-achievement of targets to these beneficiaries of the program? Then my next question, it will be on slide 50, libraries, new and upgrade and maintenance. When looking on that slide, the percentage doesn't appear there. So I just want to know from the Treasury whether percentage didn't perform, percentage did not spend any money on that on the maintenance of the libraries. Lastly, Chair, on the slide 19, the Eastern Cape and the Free State performed poor in school maintenance. It's shocking because while in the meantime there are so many schools that need that need maintenance, and then those two provinces, they perform so poor. So I just want to find out from the Treasury whether what could be done. What could be the reason for that, and any intervention to put in place to address that matter? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Dr. Melissa. Any other hands, Esther? None.
Yes, Chairperson.
Honorable Mchiva. Honorable Mchiva. You can ask, you just unmute, please. So, Baba, look in your hand. Honorable Mkiva?
Yes, Chair, can you hear me now?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Yeah. Chairperson, on the question of grants, we see that provinces in different areas of the. I therefore wish to ask that either the grant, the targets are not met, or the grant money has been transferred almost at the tail end of the financial year. I had this last year. I just want to ask Treasury, why don't they do something about this? Because this has been an ongoing and a continuing performance or underperformance on the part of certain provinces. I'm quite very worried with the fact that particularly when it comes to issues that are related to art and culture grants, because given the fact that the money that is allocated to that portfolio anyway, it is minimal. So when they cannot spend even the very minimal amount that are meant for one of the critical areas of our society, because art and culture, I mean, it's what puts together the fiber of society. If money is intended for that particular portfolio are not spent, and yet government at a national level, you know, allocates minimal resources towards that sector. Why is the Treasury, the National Treasury, working with provincial treasury, should not come up with the ways and mechanisms of solving this? Because this is going from year to year. And I don't think it would be fair that come 2021, when the very same presentation is expected, where in this committee is briefed by National Treasury, we're going to be hearing this again. I think they need to take stock. They need to prepare now in advance to ensure that this does not recur
So for me, I'm more interested in a solution to this problem so that we don't just entertain a report and we fire the same questions over and over again. And also, the Treasury should talk to the provinces insofar as this question, Chair, of transferring provincial treasury, doing transfers at the tail end of the financial year. I think this needs to be prevented. They need to speak at the start of the financial year that the strategic plans of each department must ensure that those plans are coupled with a sense of when should be the money transferred so that they are able to implement their strategic goals based on their strategic plans. It can be treated as something normal that every year in and year out we hear this thing. There are strategic plans that APPs in place. They need to comply with their own APPs. You know, a level that is below the other one of government must demand those monies in good time so that those monies can really follow the functions that are planned for. So I'm saying, Chair, I'm really raising the issue here that come 2021, we must not hear what we had in 2019 and what we have had now in 2020. When the Treasury briefs us in 2021 on these matters, it must be clear that these matters have been solved. You know, we want solutions because our interest in service delivery. It can't be correct that we are simply told the same thing. It sounds to me like a broken record, like a cut and paste, if you like. So I'm saying, Chair, that the leadership at the level of the Treasury needs to crack the whip in terms of their counterparts in provinces to ensure proficiency, to ensure effective delivery of services. Without those monies being transferred at the right time, then that's not going to happen. So I'm saying leadership, you know, needs to take place here. There needs to be consequences. Consequence management to me is to rectify the things that ought not to happen, you know, is to correct, is to self-correct as well. That's also consequence management. Consequence management is not only to punish, it's to correct so that there's no recurrence of wrongdoings. There's no recurrence of things that are ought not to be happening. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mkiba. No other hands. Honorable Team Treasury, there's something that I want to raise on Ilima Bijima. I'm not sure which slide is it, but I had one of the members of Dr. Mlezani spoke about it. And I requested that you flag your... Unfortunately, on my screen, the slide numbers did not show, whereby I think Northwest and Gauteng, there was zero records. There were no information on Lijima, Ilima, Lijima. I'm sure up again. Up again, not this one.
It's slide 9.
I don't know where it is, but it's about 9. Thank you, Honorable Rider. Where there's nothing about, no information, we don't know where they are. And one start to ask about whether did they receive the grant. And I can't think of anything that can justify it. Not this one. No.
I think it's not for the first quarter of this financial year.
The second presentation.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
It's empty. Yeah, that's it. Gauteng and Northwest. Ilima, Ilima. And Limpopo, look at the performance of Limpopo. It doesn't balance. What is it that they do best or they understand in Limpopo that Gauteng and Northwest don't understand? Or Limpopo is a Limpopo that Limpopo is a It doesn't make sense, and we should not take it light. I don't know if the presenter said by the time of compiling this report they have not received information. And if you have not received information, one will also go back to the question to say when were they aware that they should give you information, because you don't need to back them into information and they are not making you a favor to give you information. So that's a very serious problem for me. Because I think these are also the things. Actually, I was angry with you, Kim Finance, because until yesterday, you only gave us your document yesterday late in the afternoon, and that's not on. I've been on the neck of Honorable Karin in the previous year about you. I've been not happy for the whole term with your attitude of bringing, presenting information or documents to us in the last minute. For this term, at least there is an improvement. But I think you are going back to that. It's not helping us. You must give members enough time to go through these documents that you're presenting. They must analyze. They must be able, if they want to sit with their researchers and their analysts, they should do that. If they want to do consultations on the information that you're giving, they should be that. They should be able to do that if you give us information in time. Next time, I might be the first one in this parliament to say I'm not going to entertain you and close the meeting or say today. Because the picture that is being sent outside is not good about us. We are still being ineffective, so it's not a good thing. On the health grant, like I said, that it's unfortunate there were no... I could not see the number of slides where Mpumalang has spent 10%. I think it's on the second... no, not this one. 10% of the grant. Is this the one? And I'm asking myself if we say, you correctly, Mr. Pillay said that COVID-19 is health related, and we expect that the provinces might have spent this grant because there was, COVID-19 was not budgeted for. So it's very disappointing that it's this, unless I'm convinced otherwise. There's another slide when you presented, you said that the SPW in provinces are not being effective. I did not understand that. If you can please clarify that. On the National Treasury Service grant. If you can please just clarify that the 13 treasure. I think I have a lot of questions here, and I want to come up with a proposal, and some of the members might have afterthoughts that we should not, like Honorable Kiva has said, we should not wait until late
so that we are still pushing provinces to do fiscal dumping. We must avoid that by all means. So I want to put to the committee that let us request or let us agree that the National Treasury must on quarterly basis write a report to this committee in as far as performance of these grants are concerned. And then the committee will then decide whether we need Treasury to come and explain some of the other things, or we want to call other members, I mean other provinces to come here. I see members are leaving the platform, and we need a quorum for the meeting. So those are the things that I want to ask. Some of the things members have asked, have sought clarity. For example, on slide 7, the issue of Gauteng province, Free State province, Northwest province, in a matter that they have responded lower in terms of expenditure on comprehensive agricultural support program. You have tried to explain to us what is the problem, but seeing the importance of this also. So these are the things that are going to push us as a select committee to call those provinces to come and account on these provinces, on this grant. One last thing, I'm going to send this question to Treasury. One last thing that I want to ask. When you see, like Honorable Ryder and other members, when they were comparing the graph, the graph on expenditure says something, and on performance says something. They don't talk to each other. And I'm going back to what has been happening in the past 2 weeks. Does expenditure mean we have reached our target? Because I prefer more of an outcome approach. Impact. Was there an impact? Because money might have spent, but it might have not been spent on the planned project. So that's where my problem is. Are you able to do that as Treasury, to tell, or you rely on the report that tells you that, no, in terms of this budget, this is how much they have spent? Are you able to verify whether the money was spent on the planned project? Is there need for money? Those are the things that I think we need to look at. And that is very important, because money can be spent, but might be spent for something else. Over to you, Tim Sajjan.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members, for this question. Let me start first by apologizing for
Chairperson.
Who's that?
Oh. It's Eunice. Yeah, just a quick thing. Firstly, DG Magijeng and I know each other for quite some years, and she will know that this has been a view of some committees in Parliament. Look, obviously, my, my view, and I'm sure others agree, the National Treasury is under considerable pressure, perhaps more than most departments, and perhaps more than ever before with the COVID-19 situation, as indeed is government as a whole and Parliament. Now, while all of that is true, I really want to endorse what you are saying. This thing of giving us such a lengthy document the night before and then presenting it, you know, in full detail, is really not acceptable, as others have said, including yourself, Chairperson. And I think that there is also a view amongst the, let's say, older chairpersons, and older members of Parliament, that partly it's either subconsciously or consciously done. So if you present something to the MPs at the last minute, they are less prepared than they otherwise would be. I'm not saying that DG herself, Chairperson, I know her very well. She's an outstanding DDG. I really am a great fan of her, so to speak. So I'm not saying, Madi Jing, you doing it, because, you know, then you'll be free to phone me out that meeting and say, oh, Eunice, how can you say that about me? Let me tell you, in front of the meeting, I'm not saying it about you. You're a great DDG, I know you. But really, Madi Jing, you know what? You can't expect us to think anything otherwise than that. It started in 1995, 96, that we are a new parliament, but now really. Secondly, you need this information for other purposes, for your own minister, for government, for your website. So those are, we are asking you anything that, like, spectacular, different from what is a routine task for you as a department. Thirdly, I think something we need to think about, it'll make their work easier and ours, be more focused. So one of the advantages, DG, of getting the document a week ahead, if that's possible, at least by the Thursday. Comrade Chair, I have written endless letters, and you know I write most of my letters myself, endless letters to say to the committee secretary and the DG and the ministers over the years to say, if we do not get a document by 12 o'clock on the Thursday before Tuesday sitting, and the Friday 12 o'clock before Wednesday sitting, and Monday 12 o'clock before Friday 16, we will actually refer this to the Speaker's office, or we threaten to call up the meeting and issue a media statement. Indeed, once I did it, and the Suez and carried a big story, and the minister rang me urgently, and another minister met me on a plane and said, how could you be so harsh on that teaching? I said, my friend, no. After 5 years of battling with this department, the wonderful department is now called COCTA. So what I'm saying is, we, Chairperson, need our content advisors, secretaries, and researchers to also assist. So that, like, look at with due respect to the department, look at how long the input was, right? And there are so many thousands of issues that have been raised. So what happens is it becomes like an academic question-answer thing, right? Now, more recently, you know, you in particular and other committee chairs are steering the department and the committee towards saying, not coming to the same ground next time we meet you. This is the three areas we're focusing on. So the advantage may be that if they give us this quarterly report, which they need to do anyway, and they do it for the NASI anyway, right? So it's the same reporting. What we can do, because of our provincial focus, unlike the NA, instead of, you know, they rightly complain, Comrade Chair, you know that the ministers and the DG, they're doing the same thing in the NA and the same thing in the FU. No, no, no. We have agreed this term. And the chief whip on our side, Madi Jing, and the house chair, Mr. Nyambi, are also all for this. What we can do, Comrade Chair, because there's so much to deal with in appropriation, we can get the quarterly report they give to the NA, and then maybe 2 weeks later, we choose three or four themes within that and say, now, when you come to the NCOP, these are the two or three issues only, intensively dealing with the provinces. We look for the weakest link. I mean, we've got a wonderful team there with Kalilani Glomo and others there, right? I mean, they can look at it and say, okay, you know what? The big issue right now is health. So, and the two provinces that are weakest are here. So let's call in those two provinces, so that we don't have all the provinces, all of them feel they must speak. It's targeted. It's exactly what you did when you were in Kotatu, right? Strategic, targeted, focused, intensive, and then we move on. We don't come and look at health again the next quarter. Then we focus on education. We focus on the provincial powers and functions, on the concurrent powers. Like, we're not interested so much in international relations and all that, right? And we're only interested in the conditional grants right now, which is good, but there's a conditional grants also. Today I was a bit stunned, you know, and I think this has created history here. Yeah. Treasury has been speaking for, I don't know, they started at about, what was it, 10 past 10? They spoke through what time. You know, it comes in here. So all I'm saying is, on our side, we can also assist by being more focused, focusing more on our provincial responsibilities. And also the question I want to put to Madi Jeng and the department is, how much of this is also taking place in the provincial finance committee? They don't separate, as I know, economic chair, finance and appropriations, obviously. But, you see, we can do what we can do. And we can bring the provincial chairperson and team here, right? I mean, you see, the other issue we might want to do is, we don't just call the provincial committee the economic chair. We also call in the provincial departments of treasury. They must come in too. So that we work together with the province. Now, we can only do so much. It's the province's primary responsibility at one level to actually ensure that their provincial treasurers are actually doing the job, that their respective departments, I mean, the respective portfolio committees and select committees and whatever, in health, in education, etc., water and so on, are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Karim. No one else. Treasurer, DDG. DDG, yes, Chairperson, Honorable Chair and members. Let me start first by apologizing for the submission of the report late. Certainly, it's not something that we would want to continue to do. We undertake that we will make sure that such mistakes don't happen in future. Because, as you said, this information is available on a quarterly basis, and we are always prepared to come and share it with the committee on a quarterly basis. So, in responding to the questions, I think the team will help on the details of the questions that were asked for grants. So the first thing that I want to say is, we, you know, when you look at the grant system for the provinces in particular, there are myriads of them. I mean, our counting is probably up to 40 of the grants that cut across the sectors and departments. So one of the reasons why the departments choose to have conditional grants is because they want to be much more involved in the management of performance and to ensure that that policy area, its outcome is achieved. So I do believe that there are various levels of accountability and assurance in terms of performance. So where we sit at the treasury level, I believe that the first thing that we do is really what we are doing now, to analyze and reflect on what we are seeing in terms of performance. And we do reflect this also even with our provinces, our counterparts. So what we are also expecting is that the national departments that are responsible for the policy area need to be concerned, need to be accountable. Otherwise, why do they have to continue having the conditional grant? I think that is the big question that is an issue, because if they can't manage the outcomes and they are responsible for the outcomes and continuously they are not able to do that, is the problem. And also the provincial level with the legislature and the provincial treasurers. So there are so many assurance provinces. So I think the point that Honorable Wright raised, that you know, with this information, it really does empower us to call those directly involved to account. You know, like the departments, like you know, at the national level, that is a policy holder, and the provincial and the provincial treasurer. So I do think that that is what would be most helpful because what we cannot say we are committing to here, Honorable Mukiva, is that we will not come and show that there is a problem next time, that we would have solved the problem of more than, you know, almost 50 grants in the system across all the departments. Definitely we will not be able to commit to be able to say we can do that. I would believe that highlighting the problem gives an opportunity for all various ways of for accountability in the system, including the support that we also attempt to give in some cases, although we may not have the capacity where we sit to support all the departments in all the provinces in all the grant system. That's going to be very, very difficult for us to be able to do that. So I think that's the point that I just want to be able to raise here. So on specific some of the specific questions about the money, obviously I think we are concerned with the money that is underspent and mismatched between performance and spending, and that is why we are highlighting this and we continue to highlight this with the department. So with regards to the spending on EPWQ in particular, which is the issue that Honorable Dudret raised, I actually thought that we are actually spending this money on the things that matter, like actually making sure that the grass is cut, the potholes that are closed. So I think if that is not what is happening, so it's obviously the issue of concern. But I think when this APWP was conceived, it was actually also to say they are incentivizing within the normal grants also of infrastructure, the use of labor intensive in the utilization of those infrastructure, so that then when you get an incentive, it means that you have performed in terms of using labor intensive to deliver the service in this case. So I think that issue is something that we would have to look at and continue to ask more questions with regard to the department that is accountable with public works in this case. With regards to the infrastructure grant. So with regards to whether we can predict by how much the grant might be affected, honestly, I don't think I'm able to do that, because I think the decisions around how we begin to deal with these current challenges in the fiscal framework are really very much policy choices and decisions that are still in the process. So it's very difficult for us to predict, but what we can say is that it's very difficult times, so some of these grants may be affected in some way in terms of reductions in allocations. It might be some of them, it might not be all of them. We don't know how this actually will turn out. Okay, so the Free State performance with regards to poor infrastructure, I think the infrastructure area is one of those areas where even as a treasurer, we have put a lot of effort in supporting the provinces through specific programs like infrastructure delivery improvement program. And one of the things that we have done was to make sure that departments, like the Department of Education and Health, do actually have capacity to actually to plan and to manage delivery. So I think it is still concerning that even with that effort, we still have a major challenge of performance, which also has to do with the fact that it's a relationship between public works and the department. So that is actually something that we are still continuing to work with the department on in order to actually bring about improvement. And I think in the system also with the involvement of the president through the Infrastructure South Africa, there is going to be quite a change in terms of how we configure the management of this infrastructure. And that is also informed by the need to actually enhance performance. So we are hoping that in the process, as a collective in government, we are actually working towards making sure that we are improving delivery, but not only delivery, but also getting value for money, because that is absolutely critical for us to achieve the targets that we need for services, but also to build the foundation for economic development. So I think, Emmanuel, can you respond, and some of the members of the team can help in responding on some of the specific questions, please?
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair. So,
you can go on.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So, in terms of the question, I think a number of members raised this, in terms of the spending versus the performance and the correlation between the both of them. So, Chair, as I indicated at the beginning of the presentation, because of the length and the amount of detail that would have came through if I did that, it would have been too much. So what I did at the beginning was to basically select a few indicators. So it doesn't give you the entire picture. But what it does do is it highlights any discrepancies between spending and performance. So I suppose when we write the report to you on a quarterly basis, we'll get into more detail and provide more information on all the indicators. Honorable Ryder raised the issue of cash underspending, for example, spending versus the delivery in free states, for example. Now, the output that I indicated was just one of the outputs. There are about four or five more that will give you a more complete picture of it. And from there, then we can see where the shortcomings really are on that. So that cuts across all the slides that I put through, which spending versus performance. In most cases, it's not a direct correlation, but rather a selection of indicators just to highlight some of the things that the departments do or deliver in each grant. In terms of the environment or movement in terms of budget, over the 1920 financial year, we had two major movements. We had the EIG grants, where 541 million rand was stopped from underperforming provinces and submitted and reallocated to provinces who proved capacity to deliver. So we had, for example, 184 million rand stopped from Gauteng, 131 million stopped from Limpopo, and 225 million stopped from Northwest. And this was reallocated to Eastern Cape, KZN, and Mpumalanga. The other one we had was the Human Settlements Development Grant. We stopped 394 million rand from Free State, Gauteng, and Northern Cape. And this was reallocated to Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, and Free State. So those are the major environments that we had in the 1920 financial year.
Are you still on the floor?
Yes. So I think managing did address some of the issues. The one about the library's grant, Free State is missing. So that's the information that you received, but I, if I could just get back to my report and just confirm that, I'll do that in writing.
Okay.
The ERG school maintenance, the issue was brought about Eastern Cape and Limpopo and the reason for underperformance on that. In the EIG, as with other infrastructure related grants, the issues are really quite similar in terms of procurement delays, planning delays, contractor performance. A lot of these cases, the contractors are not managed effectively, so they don't deliver effectively, and the poor workmanship also impacts on the system. Chair, with the report, as you indicated, we commit that we'll submit a quarterly report to that. I think Ms. Managing did address the most of the issues, but if there's anything that I missed, I suppose the Chair can say it. Thank you.
Before you step off, Mr. Pillay, what did you say about the quarterly report? I missed you there.
Yes, Chair, I said we will commit to submit a quarterly report as per your request.
Oh, okay. All right. Member Chair.
So I was saying the one question we didn't answer is to provide the stats from 2015. So I'm sure we can provide that analysis. I didn't remember on specifically on which whether it's spending on EPWP. That is what I didn't get, but we can provide the requested to go through.
Okay.
definitely.
Yes. One from your team, is it only the two of you who wants to make addition? Is it only two of you?
Yeah, it looks like. I don't see any hands.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. Honorable members, do you want to make a follow-up second bite? But very, 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 very brief, please. So that you can deal with our outstanding minutes, the 3 sets of the minutes. But I'm going to be kind enough to give you an opportunity to have a second bite if you feel your question was not answered or clarified or to your satisfaction, or something was triggered. I'll give you that opportunity. Can I get an indication? Members are satisfied. So we'll rely on the quarterly report that we need for our better performance. Members? Are all the members gone, Zubabalu? On the platform?
Your question, I'm not sure if I missed Mr. Pillay's reply. Your question, where you were asking him to explain the non-availability of entries in 2 grand, I think it's the same towards the end of the presentation. He explained it earlier on to say that the Department of Agriculture would have funds, but I wanted him to...
Don't answer for him. Let him answer. Thank you for reminding me. The Northwest and the...
Mr. Pillay? Yes, thanks. Chair, so I suppose you mean the first quarter transfer.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so...
This one.
Yes. Northwest and Caltech. You see what's happening here is that during the beginning of the financial year, the National Department had an issue with the business plans that were submitted by provinces and also the cash flow requirements. So they basically were not happy with what the provinces were submitting, and they didn't approve it. And as a result of that, they couldn't transfer funds to all the provinces. So you see that the blue there at the bottom is zero for all provinces.
Who didn't approve it?
The National Department.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So the National Department actually approved the business plan, and based on that business plan, we approved a payment schedule to transfer the funds. So basically, no funds were transferred to provinces. So what you're seeing, the spending at the bottom there, is actually what provinces use from their voters' funds. It's not actually conditional grant funds. So what they will do, when the funds are...
Nothing.
Yes.
So what about Western Cape?
Western Cape did spend money, but they spent from their own funds. And it could be related to spending that was done.
Yeah, there are many. Eastern Cape, Free State, Limpopo, Northern Cape, Northwest. Okay, I understand now.
Yes.
Okay.
These provinces use their own voted funds to spend, and it's most probably the funds that they spent in June, the financial year. Gauteng and Northwest didn't spend any funds. So I suppose they are waiting for the transfer of the grants to come through.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Team Treasury and all our guests, we want to thank you for the opportunity. We are now empowered. We know what is happening. And I hope that... come the next time we will be able to have more clarity on these issues. We will have more time to analyze, to read, to study, and to justify why we think certain provinces need to be called to appear here and departments. I don't know if this process at some stage is going to, because we are responsible for provinces and municipalities. Can someone clarify that? Where does the municipalities come in? Where are they in the list of things?
Chairperson, with regard to municipalities, we also do submit and to the committees the Section 71 reports. So which means we are looking, because their year is different. But that is normally provided, but it's separate from this.
This is provincial one. Okay, yes. Thank you. Let me thank you once more and say go well. This second part of the meeting is for members. You are free to log off, and please take care of yourself and your loved one.
Thank you, Chair.
Keep a safe distance and stay indoors. But James, okay. Lubabalo, members, do we have enough members who can adopt the minutes?
Yes, it is. We have enough members.
Oh, Ryder Wheeler.
Yes, it is.
Ryder.
Yes, I'm here, Chair. I'm just having some connection issues. So I'm on and off, on and off.
Dennis, let me go file. Let me go. I want to go to go file. Go file. Thank you for coming back. We are experiencing the same problem with the stop. Thank you. Honorable members, we have 3 sets of minutes that we need to adopt. Remember, we were supposed to adopt them in the previous meeting, but because of time pressure, we couldn't. We deferred them to this meeting. So we will start with the set of the 2nd of September 2020. And I want to believe that the members have had an opportunity to make amendments, and there was something that the Honorable Duterte wanted to add, and it does not mention the content of the information there. I didn't find it problematic. And when we get there, Lubabalo, just that when we get to where Honorable Duterte made an addition of some kind, please remind me or present to members what we have added.
Okay.
Thank you. The first page is the attendees, and the second page, page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. And page 8. That's the last page. Can I get a mover for the adoption of the set of meeting minutes of the 2nd of September 2020 as a reflection of the discussion.
Congrats, Eunice.
Honorable Eunice, Karim is moving. Seconder.
I raise my hand to second the Honorable Comrade Eunice Karim for the adoption of those minutes.
Double, must pay. Double.
Kamak.
Kamak.
Chetakin, my reaction was very late. I think the amendment that was made by Honorable Tutoy was exactly in this minute, Chairperson. So I was still scrolling and trying to check the word that we inserted, but we only inserted one word.
Can I be of assistance there?
Please.
Mr. Stewart indicated that on the top of page 5, we mentioned drought funding being used for a Wi-Fi project, but he changed the drought funding to disaster fund. So that was it was disaster funding used, not specifically drought funding. It was disaster funding. That's what we changed at the top of the
show. We replaced the drought with disaster.
Yay. Thank you,
Esther. Yeah. Thank you, Esther. So the second flag is the 11th of September 2020. The first page is the attendees, the second page and half. Anything? There was nothing, Babado? Page 3?
No, there was nothing in this set of minutes.
There was nothing. Esther, is it only 3 pages? This was the shortest minute. Estelle, 4. Page 4 is the last page.
Yes, it's 4 pages.
4 pages. Can I get a mover?
I move for adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Mamarukhani. Seconder? Seconder? Honorable
Chairperson. I was going to ask why our honorable to do it, our honorable right at Bangas again, Banga move.
As a check called CA.
Does honorable give any reservations? I second. In spite of Honorable Nkiba's reservations.
No bad.
but in spite of.
The last set of the minutes of the 16th of December 2020. The first page at the day, the second page at the day, and half of that of the third page. Anything, Secretary, on the third page? What page? Fifth page? Sixth page? And the seventh page, the last page. Can I get the mover? Whoever is on the screen is moving.
Honorable Toy is moving, Chair.
Who?
The Toy is
Honorable
moving, Chair.
Honorable
Yes, Chair. Thank you. Moving.
Honorable Toy is moving. A second,
okay, I will second Chairperson. Unit. Thank you.
Thank you for my chair.
This is the first time that I didn't see. Let me just...
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. And thank you for availing yourself. With our tight schedule, there's a request that has been made by Honorable Ryder. Honorable Ryder, I'm still trying to attend to your request in terms of our program. we'll let you know if we are winning or not. We'll talk outside this meeting if we are winning or not. The Babalo is dealing with it. Thank you very much. Okay? Yes, you can talk.
Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate that, and I look forward to that. On a different matter today, I just wanted to voice my appreciation to the staff for the manner in which they sending out the information. So sending out a diary invitation with all of the documents attached in it means that everything's in one place and we can really maximize our time and not have to go around looking backwards and forwards amongst many emails. So I just wanted to appreciate the effort of the staff in attaching all of the relevant documentation to the meeting. It makes a big difference, and I thank them.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ryder. That is very much appreciated. And the members, the meeting stands adjourned.
We meet
what?
Honorable, yes.